You're listening to the Sabrina Philip Podcast. In today's episode, I break down common myths on scaling to seven figures and share the six things I believe are actually essential to making millions. Keep listening.
You're listening to the Sabrina Philip Podcast. In this show, online business coach and self-made millionaire Sabrina Philip shows you how to do entrepreneurship your way. She moved to Bali with just $800 in her bank account, and 1 year later had scaled her business to seven figures. Sabrina has been featured in Forbes, Business Insider, Goalcast, and Cosmopolitan, and is a contributing writer for Entrepreneur. Using her signature intentional, manageable, profitable framework, Sabrina helps women make millions online. Currently living in Scotland with her two doodles, Bonnie and Clyde, tune in each week as she reveals the best tips, tricks, and strategies for creating the intentional life and business of your dreams. Here's your host, Sabrina Philip.
Welcome back to the podcast. In today's episode, we are talking about making millions, the truth about scaling to seven figures. And in this episode, I want to kind of break down some of the misconceptions that people have around what is required to scale to seven figures, and then show you what I think is actually needed. And I want us to kind of keep in mind as we're going through these things, if I say this isn't what it actually takes to scale to seven figures, I'm not saying don't do these things. What I'm instead saying is that this is not the thing that's going to get you to seven figures. And just use this as a reminder that the way we scale will look different for every person because every business is different, every strategy is different. However, there are some things that I believe are universally true for all people. And that's more so what I want to talk about today is like, what is the universal truth of what is actually required to scale to seven figures versus the shiny objects that people get latched onto and make a big thing that I have to do this thing in order to be successful when that's not actually the case. So first, let's go ahead and talk about what people think it takes to make $1 million. One of the, and these are, you know, the kind of common misconceptions or ideas that I see from clients. So the six things that I see that are the most common questions of, do I need to do this thing? The first one is having brand colors, a cute logo, a professional photo shoot. There's this kind of obsession of, I have to have the perfect branding. And I have seen so many people scale to seven figures with the ugliest Canva graphics. And I'm not saying that to be judgy, but just like objectively, I think they're pretty horrendous. But it doesn't matter, right? Because it's about how do people feel when they consume your content, not how does it look, right? If the content is good, if the truth is powerful, if what they're hearing is resonating, you could be, you know, in a no hair, no makeup selfie, and it's still going to land because the content itself, the message itself is so powerful. Whereas if you just have the perfect, prettiest, cutest little brand, but nothing to say, it's not going to resonate. And if you put so much focus on how it looks instead of how it feels, I think it can take you further and further away from the path to seven figures. The second thing that I see a lot of people ask for or hope for or expect on the path to seven figures is this 10-step formula or 5-step formula or this exact blueprint or exact roadmap or exact business plan. And I think that when people get so focused on having a formula for success that is true for everyone, that is where people struggle because there's no such thing as a successful cookie cutter business. If you have a cookie cutter business that is a business in a box that someone has handed to you, there is no way that it's going to be sustainable. There's no way that's going to be unique. There's no way that that's going to stand out. There's no way that you're going to be able to actually successfully scale that business because you are constantly relying on someone else telling you what to do instead of making decisions from a place that gets you more of what you want. Now, the third thing that I do not think is necessary to scale to seven figures, but you certainly can use this, is selling high ticket programs. Now, I think that there's this perception sometimes of I must sell high ticket. I must sell the $10,000 mastermind, the $100,000 private coaching package, the whatever, whatever. Absolutely not. I've had plenty of clients scale to seven figures with $27 templates. I've had people scale with, you know, $1,000 courses, $500 courses, $2,500 group programs. High ticket is not a requirement for scaling to seven figures. What is a requirement in my book is selling a program that gets people results. When you help other people get more of what they want, you will get more of what you want. And so it's not about what you're selling in the sense of how much does it cost, what's included. What matters is that you're actually selling the right thing for your business and for your audience. You do not have to have the most perfect product suite in order to scale your business. I sometimes see clients who will spend so much time reworking and reworking and reworking their product suite. They'll build a program and then they'll burn it down before they've even had time to launch it for the first time, let alone the second time. And it's this constant, you know, crash and burn of the product suite because there's this desire or this belief that if I have the perfect business on paper, then I am going to go make money and I'm going to go be successful. But it's really not about, does it look good on paper? It's, do my clients actually believe in what I'm selling? And the other thing I would go ahead and say here is sometimes there's this desire to have a 12-month business plan where I've got my product suite, I know exactly what I'm selling for the next 12 months. But what I actually think is more powerful as you're scaling to your first $1 million is having a level of responsiveness. So when I do sales planning with my clients, at the end of each year, I'll typically do the next calendar year with them. But I always say that this is not written in stone. And our goal is to really be working quarter to quarter. So we never want to work month to month. When we're scaling to seven figures, that's just too tight of a turnaround. That's where burnout happens. We want to be working, you know, maybe 2 to 3 months out, but not 2 to 3 weeks out. So it's having that responsiveness of seeing what is working. So let's say you have this sales plan and you have this beautiful, super perfect mastermind on paper and your perfect product suite that you're going to launch in February and in August, and then you launch it in February and it totally flops because it's not actually an aligned offer. It's not actually what your audience wants. Are you then going to go ahead and relaunch it in August? No, right? Maybe there needs to be some tweaking to it, but you're not going to keep it as is, right? Likewise, let's say you go ahead and launch a private coaching program and that goes super well, that you then decide, you know, oh, I could launch a mastermind, but it's not on your perfect product suite. We're not going to ignore that opportunity. So we're paying attention to what is actually working with and resonating with my audience. And then we have this level of responsiveness. Once you kind of get past that seven-figure mark, I would go ahead and say your product suite is probably going to be a bit more set in stone, but I would be very flexible with what you're selling right now, not in the sense that you're selling something different every day. I'm a big believer in selling it until it sells. However, we should not be so focused on following whatever the business plan says at the expense of our business growth. Now, the fifth thing that is absolutely not necessary to make $1 million online is ads and funnels. Now, what I will say about funnels is that funnels do not need to be automated. We always have a sales funnel. A sales funnel is basically just how do I turn a potential client into a paying customer? So you have sales funnels in your business. They're just probably not documented and they're probably not automated. But when I'm saying here ads and funnels, I'm specifically talking about automated funnels. It is not a requirement to scale to seven figures. Does it make your life a little bit easier once you hit multiple six figures? Absolutely. Is it required? Definitely not. What is required is, again, having that path for how do I turn a potential client into a paying customer. You could go ahead and do this with sales calls. You could do this with selling in the DMs. You could know without a doubt in your business that when you host a free live webinar, you make sales in your business. It doesn't matter how you make sales. It does not need to be ads and funnels, but it does need to be that you know how you make money in your business and you're willing and ready to replicate that. And then finally, you do not need to be posting reels every single day or TikTok or YouTube videos or a podcast episode or carousels or whatever the thing is that you have in your head of I must be doing this specific type of content to get a result. And there is some nuance here that I want to go ahead and share, which is certainly there are some types of content that have more reach at the moment and are performing better than others. However, we never want to be sharing content from a place of obligation or scarcity of if I don't do this, then I won't get the result. You want to go ahead and create content in a way that works for you and works for your brain. So for me, I really like podcasts because since it's more audio-based, I have the ability to riff. I have been a public speaker and a teacher and a course creator for years, so it's really easy for me to talk and talk and talk on a podcast. But that might not necessarily be your thing. Maybe you are a bit more thoughtful and you like to do some long-form writing. shoving yourself into podcasts is not going to be the thing. It's about finding the type of content that really works for you and then moving toward content excellence versus just let me create and shove out as much content as possible just to say that I did it. That is not going to be the thing that gets you to seven figures. But let's talk about what actually will get you to seven figures. So the first thing is making decisions like a seven-figure CEO even before you are one. So this process and this skill of decision making is so key to hitting the million-dollar mark. So often people make decisions that get them further away from what they want. If you want to be running a seven-figure business, but then you are making decisions from a fear-based place, or you are making decisions that are taking you away from working in your business, that are taking you away from building your team, that are taking you away from making sales, that is not getting you more of what you want. If you have a marketing question that comes up in your business and you are not able to make a decision in a thoughtful, informed way because you're thinking about your business like a hobby instead of like an enterprise, it's going to be this constant push-pull and this constant struggle. So decision-making is really a skill that needs to be developed and needs to be flexed. And I think where sometimes people struggle is they rely so much on their coach to do the decision-making for them. And I think that's where sometimes I get this frustration with this battle between, am I a coach or am I a mentor? Am I an advisor or whatever? It really doesn't matter what you call yourself, but I think genuinely, we should all be working to help our clients learn how to make good decisions for themselves. We can be the person who flags the blind spots. We can advise them on how we make decisions in our own business, but ultimately we want to train that skill of decision making so that people feel confident showing up and leading their businesses. The second thing that is really key, I think, for making millions is having a way to handle haters and difficult clients and failed payments and flaky team members and, you know, everything else that kind of comes up that's a bit hard with running a business, and being able to handle those things without going into a spiral. I think that sometimes the reason why people struggle to scale is anytime they hit a road bump, they really just turn it into some sort of fatal blow that will completely take them out of their business. And they're not able to just treat that like a mosquito bite and keep going. It's really just like the end of the road for them. So this is where mindset work and self-regulation and nervous system regulation is so key, where you can kind of still stay in that truth of, I'm a business owner, I'm a good person, I can handle hard things. Like, it gets to be easy and sometimes it's hard. Like, being able to stay in that truth and keep going is so key. And I think the reason why a lot of people will sometimes struggle is because literally anything happens and it takes them out of their center. And so really being able to remain centered, being able to remain in your truth is so key for that long-term success. Which leads me to my third piece here, which is really being able to recognize when you are in a mindset funk and being able to use your tools to get yourself out of it. So sometimes a client will recognize that they're in a mindset funk. They will recognize that they're crabby. They will recognize that their mindset's not where they want to be, but they don't actually use the tools that they have. So we will have that same conversation over and over of like, well, what about journaling? What about affirmations? What about tapping? What about deepest fear inventory? What about whatever? Giving them all of these tools, they already know all of the tools. They're not using the tools. So being able to flag, one, my mindset is not where I want it to be, and two, how am I going to get myself out of that is really key. I can't remember who said this, but I saw someone say something along the lines of, successful business owners can have bad days, but they can't have bad weeks. I mean, I definitely have had some bad weeks, I would say, during my divorce. But I think that the larger message rings true in the sense that everyone's going to have a bad day or a bad minute. But when you start to have bad weeks and bad months and bad years, that's when it really gets challenging to be able to scale the business. And it's because you should be human, you should feel your feelings, but do you need to sit in that forever? Or can you truly feel your feelings instead of ignoring them and repressing them and then find a way to move through that and get yourself back into a better place? And so that's the skill that if you develop that will really serve you on your path to seven figures. The fourth thing that I think is so key here is really working on your money mindset constantly and making that a constant and continuous practice so that you feel more and more comfortable with greater levels of wealth. I think that money mindset is something that sometimes we will work on in the early stages of our business because we saw a social media post or a video or something from a successful business owner that said money mindset is essential, and then that process stops. But you need to still be a very green student when it comes to money mindset at every level of your business. It's not something that ever stops. Whatever process you were doing when you first got started is the exact same process that you should be doing a year into your business, 2 years into your business, 5 years into your business, but just with greater and greater numbers. So whether that's money dates, whether that's specific money goals, whether that's affirmations, whether that's rewiring limiting beliefs, whatever that is, being able to stay in that process of constantly working on your money mindset, I think is so key so that you don't get into these constant states of overwhelm and contraction and upper limiting and really being able to move through that. The fifth thing that I think is so key here is being willing to get very visible and letting people see the real you. As you start to scale your business, particularly to the seven-figure mark, it is quite common for people to feel overwhelmed, looked at, judged. There's this fear of cancellation, and there is sometimes this need or this belief that I have to change who I am in order to be accepted. I need to look like a seven-figure business owner that looks a specific way. There's almost like an image of, you know, people who hate Chanel bags, but they get a Chanel bag, or, you know, they call themselves a boss babe, but really they hate that language, whatever it might be. I think it's really actually the exact opposite. I think that people will really struggle to scale when they try and present themselves as something that they're not. And my personal theory on this is, how sucky would it be for the universe to reward you for being someone that you're not? And so I think that's where sometimes people struggle, is that they're trying so hard to be something that they're not because they think that is the quantum leap to their next level. So it's not acting as my next level. It's acting as someone that I'm not even aligned with or believe in, thinking that that will make me quote unquote enough to get what I want. And I think the reason why that never is going to work, or at least why you're never going to be able to stay there and sustain that, is because the universe does not reward inauthenticity. You cannot be out of integrity and in alignment at the same time. And so really being able to get comfortable with being visible, being a public figure, being online, being social, part of that is obviously criticism and feedback and haters, and just being able to stay centered in who you are is so, so key. And then finally, I think the skill that's so key here is, you know, feeling scared and showing up for your dreams anyway. I had a question from a client recently. She's in her second year of working with me, and she said, you know, how long should the runway typically be for someone to become successful? And I told her, the runway is the same amount of time for everyone. It's just that some people run it faster than others. And the people who run it the fastest are the ones who don't get caught up in their own mindset stuff. You know, if you're constantly getting caught up in your mindset stuff and you're starting and stopping and walking back to the starting line, it's going to be really, really challenging to find success in your business. But if you're able to just keep running and not turn those, you know, mosquito bites into stab wounds, like I mentioned earlier, that is really when you are able to build a seven-figure business. Now, I'm sure you were probably hoping that I would say something like, you need a funnel and you need one signature offer and you need, you know, an online business manager. And sure, absolutely, there are a ton of things strategically that are really helpful. But what you actually truly deeply need is the ability to keep going. If I had to sum it up into one thing, it's just keep going. Keep working on yourself. Keep working on your mindset. Believe that you can do it. Know what you want. Be who you are and make decisions that honor who you are and get you more of what you want. That I think is really at the core of making millions. And I think that's the truth about scaling to seven figures. I hope that this episode was helpful, and I'll see you in the next one.